used to be said, if that don't light you, fire your woods wet.
Yeah.
But I like how the old black preacher said it. He said, if that don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke.
Amen.
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 I mean, that's good.
Amen.
If that don't make you just want to take another step for the Lord, then you need to be up in the altar getting some things straightened out. I mean, seeing them kids have such a great desire, you say, well, it's just the microphone that did it. Well, that's okay. If a microphone helped them to get enough courage to stand up and sing for the Lord, then let it be so. I got no problem with that. Hey, I'll give you a microphone. See what you'll do with it. Huh? Yeah. So don't be so critical when they get up and they need a microphone. Don't think, well, they just doing it to be. No, they're doing it because they're pure in heart.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
That's right.
That's exactly right. I don't see any of y'all running up saying, let me sing, let me sing. That's exactly, you say, you shouldn't get on to us. I'm saying I want to have a desire like them children. That's what I want. And you know what? I don't only want me to have it, but I want you to have it. Yeah, that'd be good, wouldn't it? That you wake up with such an excitement about God that you say, just let me sing Jesus Loves Me. I know you say, well, that's just a kiddie song. It's a pretty good truth song is what it is. Amen. Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? Because, not because I feel like it, not because somebody else smiled at me today, but because the Bible tells me so. I told them in Sunday school, I said, listen, there ain't nothing else that lets me know that I'm saved. It's not some spiritual gift that I get. It's not some spirituality that I have. But that's just because the Bible tells me so today. I believe the Word of God. He said, if you believe in His Son, then you can be saved.
Amen.
Well, I got it. And because of that, I'm excited this morning. And I'm more excited now because I know they're going to get it. Amen, I do. How do you know they're going to get it? Because I done been praying over them. I done been praying over them. I knew my kids was going to get it, Brother Robert. I knew Caleb was going to get saved. I knew Jocelyn was going to. I didn't have a doubt in my mind. I didn't know when it was going to happen, but I knew it was going to happen. Because the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Amen, He's not. He's not like men. He's God. And He ain't never lied, and He can't lie. Amen. And because of that, I knew when I prayed, when Kelly said, we're expecting, I said, well, Lord, I want them to be saved more than anything. And then not only that, but you know what else I prayed? I didn't just pray for them to get saved. A lot of people just pray for the kids to get saved. I didn't pray that. I prayed for them to get saved and that they would grow up to be godly men and women. I also prayed, Lord, that if they get married, that they marry a godly man or woman that you bring to them and that they would be godly together. That's what I pray over my children. I don't believe God's going to let them. People say, well, you don't know what your kid's going to do. I don't. But I'm prayed over them. I guarantee you, I prayed over them enough that I'm trying my best to keep them from the world. You better believe it. I had somebody tell me the other day, they got mad. I've told you this before. They said, why do you put your kids in private school, in Christian school? Why don't you let them get in the real world? I said, listen, who do you hang out with? They said, what do you mean? I said, who do you hang out with? I said, you hang out with crazy people? Do you hang out with people that go to the bar? Do you go to the bars? No. I said, who do you hang out with? They said, like-minded people. I said, that's exactly right. I said, and that's real world, ain't it? I said, that's real world. I said, no, I'm putting my kids in a place where I think that they can be around like-minded people so they can grow up and want to be around like-minded people. Amen. You can get mad at me if you want to, but that's all right. I'm trying to give them the best shot I can in this crazy, dark world we live in. I am trying to give them the best shot that I can. I don't know what'll happen tomorrow, but I guarantee you I done prayed over it and I got peace about it because the Lord is not slack concerning His promises. I love the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, want to read with us, going to read out of 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and John chapter 12. 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and John 12. It ain't every morning that you get to get up and feel the presence of the Lord. It's not every day that you feel Him bubbling up with inside of you. It's not every day that you have just an excitement or an exuberance about the Lord and His Word and His house. It's not every day that that happens. But I guarantee you, the closer you get to Him, the more you'll have that. The closer you get to His Word, the closer you get to your prayer life and talking to the Lord, and the closer you get to being an advocate and going out and trying to live the life that God, you'll be amazed at how many more times you'll wake up excited and exuberant about God than you do not. But the further you get away from the Lord, listen to me, the further you get away from the Lord, then you'll find yourself more and more getting up not being excited about God. More and more that'll happen in your life. And then there'll come a time where you'll say, you know, I really don't need God. I really don't need the church. I really don't need... And you'll convince yourself that. And you'll find yourself in a bad place. A bad place. You listen. John chapter number 12 I'm going to read first. And then I'm going to go back and read some in 2 Samuel. John chapter number 12. And... of course, right before this, chapter number 11 is where his friend Lazarus had died and he brought him back to life. And he has the conversation with Martha and he gives her the truth of his word by telling her that she said, yes, Lord, I know that he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus kindly corrects her there. And he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And this is what he asked her. He said, believest thou this? Yes, Lord, I believe, she said. Oh, Martha, I believe she come to a place of salvation. Chapter number 12, verse number 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then over in 2 Samuel, chapter number 9, and David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may shew the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. And now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely shew thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings of life that you've given unto us. Thank you, Lord, for today and just letting us wake up today. And Father, be assembled together again with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, I want to thank you for salvation and what it means to me, Lord, and how that I realize today more than I ever have, God, that I, Father, don't have to go to an awful place called hell, but Lord, that I've been redeemed by the grace of God, and because of that, I'll spend eternity with you you in a place called heaven. Lord, I'll spend eternity with you. Lord, there'll never be an end to that. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. And I pray that if there's any in our midst that have never been saved, never been born again, that this would be the good day and the good hour wherein that they'd come and be saved, and that by your wonderful grace, Father, that they might also spend eternity with you. God, I pray again today that you'd help us now. Lord, let me get old self out of the way and let me preach what you put on our heart. God, bring it to our remembrance, all the things you'd have us to say. Lord, and when it's all said, done, and accomplished, we'll be careful to bow our heads and give you the praise and the glory for it all. For we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus. And for Christ's sake this morning, we do humbly pray. Amen and amen. Now you pray for us for just a few minutes. We'll try our best to give you what we've got. I went to revival Thursday night. A good brother was preaching. I don't know if you know him or not, but Brother Reggie Nation, he's the pastor at Moss Memorial where we left and then came here. And Brother Reggie was preaching, and I got to go be with him, and he read this 12th chapter and brought a wonderful message. Brother, he read about these scriptures here, and he read down to about verse number 9. And what he preached on, Brother Bruce, was that Jesus was still a big deal to him. That's what he preached on. Just did a wonderful job. But as he was reading, he didn't get through two verses, and I lost the rest of him while he was reading because, and that happens a lot of times with me, the Lord started speaking to me. Brother, he gave me this second verse, and I've been chewing on it for about 3 days now, and I just can't get away from it, and I want you to think about it. Now, brother, listen, the Bible said that it was 6 days before the Passover. Brother, they were in Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead and was raised from the dead, that's where they is at, still there. And it said there they made him a supper, and Martha served. Brother, that's Lazarus' sister, the one that asked the Lord about all them things. Brother, listen, and it said, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I don't know how many was sitting at the table, but there was more than Lazarus, and there was more than Martha, and there was more than Jesus. If you read on down, there's also a man, I believe his name was Simon, who was a leper, who was also there. Brother, so right there's four at the table. And Lazarus, Brother Leroy, was just one of them that sat at the table. Amen. I don't know how many of them was there. I don't know how many was sitting there. But I'm going to say this, just speculation. The Bible don't say. But bro, I believe it was a table. Listened and had a bunch of saved people there. Amen. Brother, there was Lazarus, who was raised from the dead. There was Martha, who said, "I believe, Lord." And there was Simon the leper, who had been cleansed. It said he was a leper. You know what that means? That means he wasn't no more. Amen. How do you know, preacher? Brother, because you wasn't able to sit at the table or be inside the city or be around people if you was a leper. Amen. You're supposed to, if anybody come by your way and you had leprosy, you're supposed to cry out, "Unclean, unclean." But Simon wasn't yelling, "Unclean." He was sitting at the table. Amen. I thank God today. I'm glad. Brother, that God, in his wisdom and glory and power, has redeemed you and I and given us a place at the table this morning. Amen. I thank God. Listen, I want to preach. God give me this thought while I'm sitting there in revival meeting, from the tomb to the table. From the tomb to the table. Glory to God. Brother, I'm so very glad and so very thankful. Brother Jeff, you about got me stirred up when you got up this morning. And brother, what had been on my heart. thankful to be redeemed this morning. Amen. Yes, sir. Because I know what it was. I'm running to be in the tomb. Amen. I know what it is. Listen this morning. To be dead in my trespasses and sins. Yes, sir. To be in the tomb. And to be considered dead. When the Lord came over there. Finally to where Lazarus was laid. He said, take me to where you've laid him. And they took him and he said, I want you to roll the stone away. And they said, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days and he's already stinking. I'm sure there's a lot of people that still feel that way today. But yet he said, take the stone away today. Amen. He stinketh by now. A rotten carcass stinketh. A dead body stinketh. Brother, I come by a skunk this morning on my way here. And he sure enough was stinking. Somebody had hit him on the side road. I don't know when. And he didn't look like he'd been eat up too bad. So I don't think it'd been long that he'd got hit. But I want you to know. Brother, as being dead, he had already started stinking, Leroy. And brother, listen. If you're dead in your trespasses and sins, I want you to understand something that is a stink in God's nostrils. A tomb, if we were to take out brother and pull out bodies out of tombs and they hadn't been in there but just a few days, I want you to understand that it would be a stinking mess. I mean, it'd be terrible. It wouldn't be something that anybody'd want to be around. But just 6 days prior, brother, them having Passover, you know what? Or before Passover come, you know what the Lord did with a man that was in the tomb just prior to that a few days earlier, and everybody thought he was a stinking man. You know what Jesus was doing? He wasn't sitting with him at the tomb weeping over him, but he was sitting at him and eating with him at the table. Thank God. Amen. That's right. Just a few days earlier in the tomb, and a few days after at the table. Amen. I'm going to tell you this morning. When I got up out of the altar at Blue Palm Baptist Church, and the moment that I turned, I want you to understand that I was no longer just a sinner. I was no longer just a dog. I was no longer just somebody that was cast out. I wasn't a leper no more. I wasn't dead in the tomb. I wasn't somebody that was misconfused. Brother, on the resurrection, I couldn't have told you what the Bible said at 7 years old, but this is what I did tell the church. Brother Jake said, you got anything you want to say? I said, yeah, I want to tell everybody that the Lord saved me today. Amen. I didn't know nothing else, but I knew I was saved. I didn't know I had a spot at the table. I didn't even know I was eating. But I guarantee you, I've been there a few times. Amen. Since then. Hey, yes, sir. And brother, old David had made a covenant with Jonathan. And brother, that if any one of them should die, that that other one would take care of the household. And so he got to inquiring about the household of Saul. And they said, yeah, there's one down there, old Ziba said. There's one down in the land of Lodibar. And brother, I can't remember what Lodibar means, but it seemed like it's something dark. I can't remember the actual meaning, but seemed like it's something dark, something deathly. And brother, I was hoping it'd come to me, but it won't. But anyway, that's where he was down there. And you know why he was there? Because he is crippled. And you know why he was crippled? Because he had fallen when he was a child. Amen. And brother, I want you to know that every single one of us have come to that fall. And every single one of us that's been redeemed, brother, have overcome the fall. And the way we can overcome the fall was that there was somebody that looked beyond our crippledness and gave us a seat at the table this morning. Amen. Well, thank God. When I was a kid, We'd go to Mama and Papa's house, and I had to sit at the kiddie table. If you know what the kiddie table is, raise your hand. Anybody been to family? Raise your hand real quick if you know what kiddie. Okay, I just didn't want to think I was preaching to somebody that didn't know what I was talking about. But I went to Mama and Papa's house, and I always had to sit at the kiddie table. And even when I was a teenager, I had to sit at the kiddie table. And 19 years old, I had to sit at the kiddie table. And I thought, boy, one day, I'm going to get at the adult table. I'm going to get at the big table. I'm going to get up there where all the older people are. Amen. I couldn't wait as a child, brother, to go from the kiddie table to the adult table. Brother, now that we're adults, what do we want? We want to go back to being kids again. We want to go back to having that fever, that fervor, that excitement, that exuberance, that strength. But, brother, I want you to know, thank God today if we'd get excited about the place at the table that's been prepared for us, brother, we could have meaning today. We could. You know why so many people miss out? They've got the wrong idea about church. They've got the wrong idea about God and about His Word. Hey, man. Somebody mentioned, it may have been Tony, yeah, he was mentioning about his mom and table. And that just confirmed what I was going to preach. I said, thank you, Lord. I appreciate that. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you, I was sitting here and I was thinking, where else can I go, Lord? Maybe this ain't the day for this. Maybe I need to preach something else this morning. I'm going to tell you what I was thinking. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you what I was thinking. I was thinking, Brother Jeff, I thought, well, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to get over where it said that they had to prune back the vine to bring forth more fruit. That's what I'm going to preach on, because I see in the faces of people that they're getting a little down and out because we had a couple of Sunday school times. Hey, listen, if you're worried about that, you're worried about the wrong thing. Brother, listen, I want you to know that God's got everything under control. Brother, you live what you're supposed to. You eat there at the table when you're supposed to. You take care of you, and God will handle the rest today. Amen. That's right, preacher. I know it is. I know it is. You don't have to amen it. I know it's right. Brother, you listen. Thank God. I told Brother Leroy sitting there, I said, you know what? I can't make people come. I can go jump on these benches if you want me to. If that ain't gonna do a bit of good, because you know what? There's gonna come trouble one day, and me jumping on benches ain't gonna help you. Hey, man, me a shouting and running up and down the aisle, that ain't gonna help you. Me a patting you on the back and making you feel better about yourself ain't gonna help you. If you don't have a relationship with God, if you ain't got a place at the table, David said, oh, I'm a Mephibosheth, you can eat continually. Now, I'm gonna say this, Brother Bruce, the Bible don't say it, but I believe Mephibosheth ate a lot at that table. I don't think he just went one time and said, that's good enough for me. But I believe he said every time they said, supper time, here come old Mephibosheth running. When I was a boy, this is what I'd say. Why are we eating meatloaf again? That's what I'd say. Why are we having salmon patties? I don't like salmon patties. Why can't we have what my friends are eating? What are they eating? They eating hamburgers and pizza. Why can't we have that? Because that ain't what we got. We got meatloaf. And we got salmon patties. And we got collard greens. And black-eyed peas. And cornbread. That's what we got. That's what you're going to eat. If you're going to eat at this table, that's what you're going to eat. You know what? Let me just throw this in there. Mama didn't say, let me make you something special. Don't get mad at me, you mamas. Now listen, my wife does the same thing. My children don't want to eat what we got. She'll give them something else. But I don't know if that's the right way or the wrong way, but when I was a kid, you either eat what we had or you just didn't eat that day. Amen. That's right. And listen, I'd get mad about meatloaf on Sunday, and so guess what we had on Monday? Meatloaf sandwiches. And bro, I'd get mad about having meatloaf sandwiches on Monday, and you know what? What we'd have on Tuesday? Meatloaf pie. Hey man, mama, just take it, remake it again into something else, and we'd eat on meatloaf the whole week, and I was miserable about it. I was. I don't like meatloaf. Hey, man. But you know what I found out? That if I'd shut up and sit down and take a bite of that meatloaf, I didn't tell Mama it wasn't bad. I didn't want her to know I was wrong. But when I'd eat, I'd say, "That's pretty good. I kind of like meatloaf, but I don't want to tell them about it because they might make it again." Right? You say, what's that got to do with anything? The Lord's prepared a table. And sometimes you're going to turn your nose up at what's been made. And sometimes you're not going to like it, and you're going to say, wait a minute, that's not what I was expecting when I come to the table. That wasn't what I was wanting when I came to the table. I'm going to tell you what, sometimes God don't give you what you want. Ain't you glad? Say thank you, Lord, right there. Hey, sometimes God don't give you what you want. He gives you what you need, thank God. Amen. That's right. And sometimes it's bitter. Sometimes it don't taste right. And sometimes you ain't even going to like it. But you go ahead and eat what the Lord gives you. It'll do you good. Don't worry, our children sing. And oh, we rant and rave about them singing that song. Oh, ain't that beautiful, and that's so wonderful. And we love that song, and we talk about it, and we testify to it. And then we show up on Sunday morning, and we start worrying. We start worrying and fretting. Wonder if there'll be anything at the table today. Wonder if the Lord will show up and provide us something to eat. And He's never let you down yet. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. I'm going to pastor for a minute if that'd be all right. I left Mount Tabor Baptist Church. We was running probably 80, 90 in Sunday school, probably 150 in worship somewhere. A lot like this church. We moved from Adairsville to Somerville. I've never lived outside of Bartow County except for them couple years that we moved up there where I was teaching and coaching. And I didn't understand what in the world the Lord was doing. I preached for 5 churches up there without pastors. I didn't know them somehow. I don't know how. The first phone call come said, "We over here in Somerville, we heard you're not pastoring. We'd like for you to come preach for us." I didn't even know them. Went over and preached. 5 different churches did me that way. All 5 of them asked me about taking their church. I couldn't get satisfied on taking them. I thought for the first time in my life, I'm gonna pastor somewhere close to home. We've moved up here to Somerville, and I've had 5 churches talk to me. It's gonna be 5 minutes from the house. And they called me from Moss Memorial and said, "Brother Josh, we heard you didn't have church. We'll see if you'd come down and preach for us." I said, "Sure, I'll come down." Walked in the first morning, and I think we had 14 in Sunday school. I've got 4 in my house. So you do the math. They sung a song and then they said, "We're going to have prayer." I said, "Let's have altar prayer." So 14 up in the altar. Brother Bruce, I didn't know more. Laid my head down on the floor to start praying. And the Lord said, "This is it." I said, "Lord, that's an hour away. I'd have been just as good just to stay in Adairsville. I'd been 15 minutes away. What we had to move up to Somerville for?" 14. And I want you to know that morning I preached. Boy, he let me loose. And every Sunday that I preached at that little old church where we had 14 or 40, by the time we left, we had 40-something coming. It was a wonderful blessing. We've seen souls saved, seen people join the church. It was a blessing to see. Hey, listen, but I want to tell you what, the Spirit of God was just as real with 14 as it was with 114. Amen. My tape, what are you trying to say, preacher? I'm saying every time that I went to the table, there was something there for me to eat, Tony. It didn't matter if everybody showed up to eat at the table or not. My spot was made, my spot was ready, and my spot was filled, thank God. Amen. What'd you say all that for? I said all that for this reason. If you'll show up and eat your spot, take care of that. Daddy, you say, clean that plate. When he wasn't looking, I'd go over and scrape some of it over onto the trash can. But he'd say, clean that plate. He didn't want the plates to be dirty. And you know what? Every time, listen, this just come to me. Every time that I did that, you know, about 2 or 3 hours later, Brother Steve, you know what was happening to me? I was getting hungry again. Yeah. If I ever scraped off what was on my plate and didn't eat it all, like Daddy was trying to get me to, I scraped off. A little bit later, I'd come back. I'd be hungry again, Leroy. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Just a few hours. Daddy knew better. If I'd ate all that, I might not have been hungry again in just a little while. When the Lord prepares you something to eat, eat it. What did he tell John about that little book? He said, eat ye all of it. Eat all of it. Today I want to encourage you as an individual, as a follower of Christ, find your place. It said that Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. You know what that means, Bruce? There's plenty of spots. Plenty of spots. From the tomb, stinking, dead carcass, to I don't know how many days or how many hours, to the table. From the tomb to the table. From unclean old Simon. I don't know. I don't know if it's what he did, but I'm just persuaded to believe this. He had to yell for years, unclean, unclean. If people come around him, he had to yell that for years. Unclean, unclean. Folks get close to him. Unclean, unclean. But I can't help but believe when the Lord healed him of his leprosy, now he is singing a different tune. Clean, 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 I'm clean. Clean, come on, I'm clean. Clean. Hey, you know what we'll do? Nobody even know you as clean. If you had to yell unclean for years, I believe you'd start singing a different tune if you got clean. Hey, man. Hey, man. Clean, clean. I know Bob don't say that. That's a pretty good thought, ain't it? I believe he is yelling something different. How do you know, preacher? Well, all the other scriptures kind of give me indication. That little old woman he met at the well, she went back running into that city and she said, come see a man that told me all things ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Hey, man. Bible said that when Peter and John went up at the temple at the hour of prayer, that they saw that fellow, he was wishing to receive alms of them. And they said, silver and gold, we got to, but what we got, such as we have, give we thee in the name of Jesus Christ. And there, rise up and walk. And the Bible said he didn't walk, but he went leaping and praising God in the temple, thank God. Don't ever forget where you come from, Lodibar. Hey, man. Boy, I'm telling you what, this is just getting gooder and gooder. Don't ever forget where you come from. Hey, man, went from Lodibar, hey, man, to the king's table. Huh? What about that? Hey, listen, you're more than what you give yourself credit for. God has redeemed you and given you a place at the table this morning. Hey, man, glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad of that? I'm thankful that I'm saved. Come on, get a verse of song, Brother Evan. Amen. Everybody just obey the Lord this morning. Do what you're supposed to do in the house of the Lord. We come in, we get so fixated on everything else. When God says, here's the plate, all I want you to do is eat it. Amen. Wednesday night, this past Wednesday night, we had fellowship and supper out here at the fellowship hall, and then had a question and answer time. And man, I thought I was done eating. I'd eat too much while I was there. And we got done, and some of these good sisters said, won't you take this home? 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 Lord, have mercy. I've been trying to lose weight, Brother Jeff, and these women of the church is trying to fatten me up. And here's the thing I've learned being a pastor. Don't say no. Don't tell no lady that's cooked and offering you her. Don't tell her no. You'll be in big trouble. So I've took it home and I've eat it. Sugar and all. Hey, man, I didn't lose no weight this week. As a matter of fact, I'm afraid to get on the scale, Brother Jeff. I'm afraid I gained it all back, what I'd lost. But they took of their time and their effort and their compassion, and they gave it unto me. And God, in His great wisdom, took of His time and His compassion and gave unto us. He said, take, eat, for this is my body. This keeps getting bigger. I can't help it. Take, eat, for this is my body. I know we're going to do communion next week, but I guess it's on my mind. Take, eat, this is my body. Take ye and drink of the cup, for this is my blood of the New Testament. Of the new covenant. Amen. All He wants us to do is to eat and live. What about it this morning? Maybe you're here and your relationship with God is not where it needs to be. Maybe you're a faithful church goer, but there still just ain't something just exactly right with you and God. Today would be a good day to get you something off the table and leave here full. Maybe you're here and you're lost. You've never been saved. You don't even know what we're talking about. But something's going on down on the deep inside of your heart. And you're saying, Lord, I need that. I want that. Hey, you can come this morning and you can get that. You can get saved. You can. While we stand and while we sing together, would you come this morning? What's your number, brother? 489. You come on. You come on this morning. Yes, God help.
But that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Before they sing another verse, listen. It said that Lazarus was one of them at the table. And then it said, then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed feet of Jesus, wiped His feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Boy, that's good, ain't it? Then said one of His disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? He said, and this He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. That was old Judas Iscariot. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Now listen, Judas had a place at the table. What? Yeah. Let her alone. Against the day of my burial has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. Much people of the Jews therefore knew that He was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom He raised from the dead. Brother Reggie preached the other night. He said, there was Lazarus, Martha and Mary's brother, who they seen dead and then saw raised again. There he was. sitting at the table. And there was Simon the leper who'd been cleansed of his leprosy. He said he was there sitting at the table. And that must have been something great. And he said, and no doubt Mary knew each one of them, knew their story, and thought that's miraculous. But she didn't stop at their feet. And old Reggie preached, Jesus is still a big deal in my life. Mary didn't go to Lazarus and wash and anoint his feet. Mary didn't go to Simon the leper and wash and anoint. Hey, you know what? She wasn't worried about who was at the table or who showed up for Sunday school or who didn't. Hey, she was worried about getting with Jesus. Amen. Yeah. When you get worried about doing that, whoa, man, I'm telling you, it'll take care of everything else. You just get with Jesus. That's what she did. Went and anointed his feet. And you know what? Listen, did you read what the Bible said? I read it to you. You hear what it said? It said when she got done anointing his feet and washing, wiping it with her hair, it said the whole house was filled with the smell. Whew. Boy, let me tell you what I think that is. I think that's the presence of God. Hey, man, I'd like for the house to get to smelling like the presence of God. Hey, man, you ever had that? Brother Bruce, there have been times where I've been low, been down and out, been thinking, don't nobody care for me, don't nobody even want to know anything about my life. And then all of a sudden, just a sweet-smelling fragrance come by. And I know it's the Lord. Him just passing by, just let his waft just come by. And then, hey, man, I just knew that he is with me. Didn't matter what anybody else was doing, I knew God was there. Young people, the presence of God in your life is necessary. Middle age, the presence of God in your life is necessary. Older people alike, the presence of God in your life is necessary. And the way you get more presence of God in your life is to get more in His presence. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. When we come down here for prayer, in between the singing and it, let us. There's more of you that needs to come on down and help us. Yeah, I hadn't said anything about that. Been here almost 5 years. October will be 5 years. And I ain't said nothing about it. But listen, you need to come on down. Let us. If we'd come together and boldly to the throne of grace and cry out to God with the problems and things that are in our life and each other praying for each other, you'd be amazed at what would happen with your children and grandchildren and family alike. You'd be amazed. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. What about it this morning? I still don't know exactly what's going on in your heart or your life, but God does. And He sent you what you needed this morning. Are you going to sit at the table? Judas never sat down at the table. As far as I read, I've read everything I can about Judas. I never see him sitting at the table, getting him a sup there at that table. Now, he sat at the table before the crucifixion. Because the Lord said the same that dippeth his hand in the sup with me. Said he's the same one that shall betray me. What does that mean, preacher? That means he got bold in his sin. The Bible said that whenever he came to the garden and saw Jesus, that he even kissed him on the cheek. Heard a man preach one time on kissing the door of heaven and splitting hell wide open. Boy, that'd be bad, wouldn't it? Somebody may be here today. You may have kissed the very door of heaven, been that close, but turned away. God help you this morning. If you turn him away, won't you come right now? He's got a place at the table for you. Let's sing another verse. Come on.
Dig not to rend my soul.
I appreciate that this morning. I appreciate the Lord. I appreciate His goodness to us.